Welcome everyone to the Brain's Happiness Code. I'm particularly fascinated by today's topic because, well, who doesn't love feeling good? And endorphins, these natural feel-good chemicals, are a key part of that.
Absolutely. It's like our brain's own reward system, right? I'm really interested in exploring how these endorphins are produced and what triggers their release.
Precisely. We'll be unraveling the science behind the euphoria, the pain relief, the overall sense of well-being. It's a complex system, but the core question is simple. What makes us feel good?
And how can we get more of it? Ha! Just kidding. Mostly. But seriously, understanding how endorphins work could be the key to a happier, healthier life. It's like having the cheat codes to your own brain.
Exactly. So let's dive in. Endorphins are peptides produced in the brain, and they have a powerful effect on how we perceive pain.
Yeah, they're like natural painkillers blocking those pain signals. I was reading about how they bind to the same receptors as morphine. Amazing, right?
It is. Think about the runner's high, that euphoric feeling after intense exercise. It's a classic example of endorphins at work.
Oh, absolutely. But it's not just exercise, right? I mean, even things like laughter or, well, certain other activities can trigger endorphin release.
That's right. We'll explore all those triggers. And interestingly, endorphins don't just mask pain. They also affect mood, stress levels, even appetite.
It's like a whole cascade of positive effects. I'm curious about the different types of endorphins, though. Alpha, beta, gamma. They all have slightly different roles, don't they?
They do. Beta endorphins, for example, are the ones most associated with pain relief and, well, that runner's high we talked about.
So if we could somehow control the release of these beta endorphins, think of the possibilities for pain management.
It's a fascinating area of research, and we'll also delve into the history of endorphin research going back to the 1970s when these opioid peptides were first discovered. Researchers were initially looking for a non-addictive painkiller and stumbled upon something even more remarkable.
It's a story of scientific serendipity, yeah? And speaking of history, the etymology of the word endorphin is pretty cool too. It's a contraction of endogenous morphine, so it's like morphine that's produced within the body.
Exactly. It tells you a lot about how these peptides function. So from their discovery to their role in pleasure and pain, we'll uncover the secrets of these remarkable molecules. Let's start with how endorphins are actually produced in the brain.
It all starts in the pituitary gland, right? This tiny but powerful gland at the base of the brain.
So the pituitary gland, huh? It's fascinating how such a small gland plays such a huge role in, well, so many things, including endorphin production.
Right? It's like the conductor of the endocrine orchestra. And within the pituitary, it's specifically the anterior lobe that's responsible for producing these precursor molecules, right? Like propiomelanocortin,
yeah.
Or POMC.
POMC, yeah. It's a mouthful, but it's essential. POMC gets broken down into several different peptides, including, of course, our star players, the endorphins, but also other hormones like ACTH and MSH.
So it's not just a one-trick pony. This POMC is multitasking. Okay, so back to the endorphins. This breakdown process, it's not just happening randomly, is it? There are specific enzymes involved, right?
Absolutely. Enzymes like prohormone convertases, they're the molecular scissors snipping POMC into smaller, active peptides. And the fascinating thing is the specific enzymes present can influence which type of endorphin gets produced. Alpha, beta, gamma. But it all depends on which enzymes are at work.
So it's a finely tuned system at a molecular assembly line. And where do these endorphins go once they're produced? Do they just float around the brain?
Well, no. They're packaged into vesicles, these tiny little sacs within the cells. And then these vesicles are released on demand. When the body experiences pain, stress, or even pleasure, these vesicles fuse with the cell membrane and release the endorphins into the synapse.
The synapse, that's where the magic happens. They bind to those opioid receptors, the same ones that morphine binds to, and damn, pain relief, euphoria, the whole shebang.
It's really remarkable, and what I find particularly intriguing is how this system can be influenced by, well, by so many different factors. Exercise, as we mentioned, is a classic example. But even things like acupuncture, meditation, even eating certain foods can trigger endorphin release.
Yeah, I've heard about the runner's high, but acupuncture, how does it work?
Well, the exact mechanism is still being researched, but the prevailing theory is that the needles stimulate those same opioid receptors, either directly or indirectly, leading to endorphin release. It's a complex interplay of the nervous system and the endocrine system. even things like listening to music or, well, intimate moments can trigger this cascade of events.
So it's not just about physical exertion, it's a whole mind-body connection. It's that power, that powdy. I mean, this is incredible. So if we could somehow harness this power, imagine the therapeutic potential.
So we were talking about how remarkable the endorphin system is and how it's influenced by so many things, but I think we sort of glossed over how acupuncture actually triggers endorphin release.
Yeah, I was wondering about that too. It sounds almost too good to be true. Like you stick needles in someone and boom, endorphins.
Well, it's not quite that simple.
The research is ongoing, but the prevailing theory is that the needles stimulate the opioid receptors either directly by physical manipulation of nerve endings or indirectly through a more complex pathway involving the nervous and endocrine systems.
So you're saying it could be a direct stimulation of the receptors or a cascade of events that eventually leads to dot endorphin release? Interesting. I'm also curious about the different types of endorphins. You mentioned alpha, beta, gamma.
Right. They all have slightly different roles, bind to different receptors, even have different potencies. Beta endorphins, for example, those are the ones most strongly associated with pain relief and, well, that run is high, we talked about.
Okay, so beta endorphins for pain relief and euphoria. What about the others?
Well, alpha endorphins also play a role in pain modulation, but they're not as potent as beta endorphins. And gamma endorphins. They're a bit more mysterious. Still being researched, but they seem to be involved in, well, a wider range of functions, including cardiovascular regulation and even some aspects of mood.
So a whole family of endorphins, each with its own specialty? This is getting complex. And how do these different endorphins, how are they produced? Is it the same process for all of them?
It starts with a precursor molecule called POMC, propiomelanocortin. It's this large molecule that gets broken down by enzymes into smaller active peptides, including the different types of endorphins, but also other hormones. The specific enzymes present determine which endorphin gets produced. It's like a molecular assembly line.
So POMC is the key. And the enzymes, they're like the specific tools on the assembly line shaping the final product. Fascinating.
Yeah.
So like,
yeah.
If you have more of one type of enzyme, you'll get more of a specific type of endorphin?
Exactly. It's a finely tuned system. And once these endorphins are produced, they're packaged into vesicles, these tiny little sacs within the cells, and released on demand when the body experiences pain, stress, or pleasure. They then bind to opioid receptors. And, well, the magic happens.
The magic happens. I like that. Pain relief, euphoria, the whole shebang. It's almost like our own internal pharmacy, isn't it? Producing these powerful chemicals on demand.
So we've been talking about endorphins, these amazing natural painkillers, and how they're produced. But I'm curious, what about animals? Do they have endorphins?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, a lot of what we know about endorphins comes from animal studies. Rats, chicks, dogs, even goldfish. They all have endorphin systems, and it affects their behavior in fascinating ways.
Really? Like what?
Well, for example, young chicks separated from their mothers, they usually chirp like crazy, right? Distress calls. But if you give them endorphins, they calm right down.
Huh. So it's not just pain relief, it's a emotional regulation too?
Exactly. And goldfish, get this, they school more when they're given endorphins, like they're feeling more social, maybe less stressed.
That's wild. So studying animals helps us understand how endorphins work in humans too, I guess?
Yeah, it's all connected. And speaking of history, did you know the whole endorphin discovery is tied to the war on drugs in the 70s?
Oh, I didn't know that. How so?
Well, researchers were looking through non-addictive painkillers, and they stumbled upon these opioid receptors in the brain, which, of course, led to the discovery of endorphins, the body's own morphine.
So it's like a scientific accident?
Kind of, yeah. A happy accident. And it revolutionized how we think about pain, addiction, pleasure, all sorts of things.
It's amazing how one discovery can lead to, well, so many other avenues of research. And it sounds like there's still so much we don't know about endorphins.
Oh, definitely. The research is ongoing. But the potential, the therapeutic potential is huge. Better pain management, treatments for stress and addiction.
Mm-hmm. It's really exciting stuff. So to wrap things up, I guess the key takeaway here is that endorphins are these incredible molecules that affect so many aspects of our lives, from pain and pleasure to mood and even social behavior. And we're only just beginning to scratch the surface of what they can do.
Absolutely. It's like having this this internal pharmacy producing these powerful chemicals on demand. And the more we understand how it works, the better we can harness that power for, well, a happier and healthier life. Thanks for listening, everyone.